From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Chances are, if you're a politician, you do not want to be labeled pants on fire. That's the label fact-checking news project PolitiFact gives a politician on the truth-o-meter when they've made a false and ridiculous statement. On the other end of the spectrum, statements made by politicians, lobbyists, and pundits can be rated as true. PolitiFact editor Bill Adair and his team sort through the news and political rhetoric and deeply fact-check what they find. Adair is visiting La Crosse and will be speaking in UWL's Centennial Hall at 7 tonight. I caught up with him this afternoon in a hotel lobby. He tells me why he decided to start PolitiFact.
It really started out of my experiences covering the 2004 presidential campaign, and particularly a speech that Zell Miller gave at the Republican National Convention in New York, which he made a lot of attacks against John Kerry that at the time I thought were probably not true, but I didn't do anything as a journalist to fact-check them. And after that, that moment kind of hung with me as a missed opportunity, as a point where as a journalist, I really should have stepped up and checked what he said to see if it was accurate. And so that, you could say that we built PolitiFact out of my own guilt, as that I had not done a good job as a journalist in 2004. And I think in general, the news media hasn't done enough fact-checking because it's hard, because it's time-consuming and it takes some guts. You have to make a conclusion about whether something is true or false. And often those conclusions are controversial, as we've seen with some of our ratings lately. So that's the history that sort of led up to a moment in 2007 when I proposed to my editors. I was then the Washington bureau chief for the St. Petersburg Times, a newspaper that's now known as the Tampa Bay Times. And I went to my editors and said, hey, for the 2008 campaign, how about I start a fact-checking website? And they very quickly agreed. I think there was a real recognition that this was an important thing that we should be doing in the news media. And they were willing to do something that even national news organizations were not willing to do, which was to commit some serious resources to it. And so now, 5 years later, PolitiFact is in 10 states, including Wisconsin, with a total of 35 journalists who are doing full-time fact-checking. So we've become quite a large operation in political journalism.
So it's 35 staffers that are completely dedicated to PolitiFact, or are they also reporting for the Tampa Bay Times or, in Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel?
Yes, that would be the full-time equivalent. So it's the equivalent of 35 full-time editors and reporters doing PolitiFact journalism. At some of our partners, they dedicate a reporter full-time to it. At others, such as in Ohio, the Cleveland Plain Dealer uses its political staff. And so a typical reporter might write one truth-o-meter fact check a week and then do other stories, while here in Wisconsin, the Journal Sentinel reporters are, for the most part, dedicated to PolitiFact.
It's pretty gutsy to admit your own mistakes and to say that PolitiFact grew out of your own guilt. Do you think that the public understands that fact-checking, while it is still part of the job, is incredibly time-consuming? I mean, the fact that you guys have 35 people for 10 states just kind of shows.
No, I don't. I think a lot of people are under the impression that you can do this instantly using Google and that some politician says something and you look it up and, you know, bingo, you know that it's true or false. I don't think people realize how hard it is and also how complex some of these statements are. You know, politicians have been lying and exaggerating for a long time, and they've gotten very good at it. And they know the techniques to use, and they know how to shade things. And so that sometimes can make it tricky to do a rating. And what we do at PolitiFact that is unique is we research the statement and do traditional journalistic examination of it. But then we summarize our work with a rating on our truthometer from true to false. And if it's really ridiculously false, we give it our lowest rating, pants on fire. And that rating is difficult. And we've had to create a whole set of principles to decide what's a half true and what's a mostly true. And we have a process where three editors review every story that we're, every fact check that we do, and determine the conclusion. And often those conclusions, I just did one with PolitiFact Tennessee, often those conclusions will differ from what the reporter recommends. This was one involving a senator from Tennessee who had made a statement. The reporter's recommendation was that the statement be rated mostly false. We talked about it for some time and decided that really, there was no truth to this claim at all. It's about a proposed labor regulation. And so we changed the rating to false, and so that's what we will publish. And that rating is hard, and it also takes courage in that our work is very popular with people. If they dislike someone, they're going to cheer when that person gets a false. But when their guy gets a false, they're going to complain. And so fact-checking is a good way to make people mad. And that's another reason, I think, why journalistic organizations have been slow to do it, because it you're going to make one side or the other mad. It's kind of like being a referee in a football game.
I mean, instead of it being a story, instead of it being a big event, I mean, you're taking one statement, you're taking a chain email, and you're breaking it down to its ultimate core, which, I mean, in some news stories you can do that too, but it just seems like PolitiFact is really filling in this gap that was missing and is missing in a lot of journalism.
I agree. I think the what distinguishes our work from some of the other fact-checking that's done is that we do go to that granular core. And so we will take a small piece of a long sentence, and we will fact check just that piece. And so, and by doing that, I think we really inform voters that, you know, their representative is exaggerating or is putting a falsehood out there or whatever about that particular thing. When you lump a lot of things together, as some fact checking does, it's kind of hard. It's like you can have a sentence that may have part of it true, part of it half true, and part of it false. And so what does it average out to? You know, well, that's a half true. Well, that doesn't really tell you much. So I think the more we can get to that granular level, the better.
And going back to the truthometer, as you know, being in media, I mean, media consumption has changed so much over even just the last decade. Visually, the truthometer is very appealing. When you see that someone is a liar, pants on fire, and you have that flashing meter, it's easy to see. It's easy to look at what they said and see that they're lying. And I'm sure for some people, they can just look at it and they'll go through the headlines, where others will actually read the story and read your analysis. I want to hear your take on media consumption and why the truthometer is helpful for news consumers.
I think in the past, journalists have had a mistaken belief that people will spend a lot of time doing homework on the big issues of the day. And we have often had a concept of eat your vegetables journalism, that you should read this long story about whatever issue because it's good for you. Well, the reality is people don't read that long story, or they may not necessarily have the time to listen to a long interview on the radio or watch a long segment on television. And so I think we need to be respectful of people's time while still doing good journalism. And I think what we don't want to do is rush the journalism and do things sloppy. And so behind every truthometer ruling is a lot of very solid journalistic research, and a very thoughtful consideration that determines what the rating is. But we're not under this illusion that people are going to have a dinner of all vegetables. And I think the beauty of the truthometer is it's simple. You can look at PolitiFact and see the statement and our rating and know maybe everything you need to know. You know, Scott Walker said this, we rated that false. Russ Feingold said this, we rated it half true, whatever. There is real value, I think, in that simplicity. But again, we don't want to make it so lighthearted and sugary that it doesn't have substance. It does have a lot of substance. But I think in the future for the media, what we need to do is look for more ways to tell stories, to present information in more engaging ways. I think we got kind of lazy in the media. If you think about it, the business of newspapers really didn't change much for 100 years. And the techniques that we're using to put ink on paper are not much different from the techniques that we've used for centuries. And the journalism that goes on those pages isn't really that much different over the decades. And so I think we got complacent and we didn't really look for new ways to tell stories. Now, the internet and mobile devices give us all these new platforms that we can use to present information in new and more engaging ways. And I think we need to seize that opportunity.
Or people can take a Truth-O-Meter posting and put it on their Facebook page and everyone can comment on it.
Exactly. And that's we get a lot of traffic from Facebook. And people love to go to Facebook and comment on our work. And we really like that. And we get great feedback. And we also realize every now and then we made a mistake. And we'll correct a mistake if we make one. But we have some really smart readers who take our work seriously and will let us know when they're unhappy.
You're listening to Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCullum. My guest today is Bill Adair. He's the editor of PolitiFact. You have a partnership with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, so Wisconsin readers and news consumers are able to see their politicians be fact-checked by you all. Can you talk about how that partnership got started?
You bet. We started PolitiFact in the summer of 2007, and very quickly after we started, we realized that the Truth-O-Meter would work as well on a mayor or state legislator or governor as it did on the presidential candidates. We initially just did it on the presidential candidates. And so we began to think about how we might do PolitiFact at the state level. As 2010 started, we began to hear from newspapers around the country that wanted to license PolitiFact and use it in their own coverage. And so we came up with what I think is a really creative approach that allows them to do PolitiFact journalism, to put their ads on their PolitiFact page, to get to count the traffic that they get on their PolitiFact website, but still use our approach, and it would all be joined together in PolitiFact in a way that if you look up a claim on budget deficits, you might see a claim by Barack Obama, you might see a claim by Scott Walker, you might see a claim by the governor of Ohio, John Kasich. So the idea was to license our unique form of journalism to other news organizations. The Journal Sentinel has been a exceptionally good partner. They have put some great journalists on the PolitiFact staff, and they found particularly during the budget crisis last year that there were so many exaggerations and falsehoods on both sides of the debate that PolitiFact was a key part of the Journal Sentinel's coverage. And likewise now with the recall election, we're seeing lots of opportunity for PolitiFact Wisconsin to fact-check the campaign ads that are beginning, to fact-check the claims that are being made by the Democratic Party, by Governor Walker, by the groups that are beginning to advertise. So I think PolitiFact Wisconsin is very much, once again, at the center of the craziness. And so we're really looking forward to some great coverage from them over the next couple of months.
They were very busy last year, as you said.
Well, and it was great that there's a tendency when there's a big news event for any news organization, yours or mine, to basically go out and cover the news. And what I was so impressed by what the Journal Sentinel did is they realized that fact-checking and the work being done by their PolitiFact team was a really crucial part of how they covered what was going on in Madison. And so when, whether it was something that Governor Walker said or something that Rachel Maddow said about Governor Walker or things that state legislators said about the demonstrators who were in the state capitol, the Journal Sentinel team was on it. And they did some really fabulous work.
They were able to stop, take a breather, and then do their job.
Exactly. And I think that takes a commitment of resources. I think you have to have a news organization that's willing to say, all right, I'm gonna take these two or three people and I'm just going to let them focus on this one thing. And and I think they were driven by what's most important in journalism, which is curiosity. If they heard something said by the leadership in the state Senate or by the governor or by a talk show host on MSNBC, and it made them at the Journal Sentinel wonder, is that true? Then that's what they would fact check. And I think the best fact checking is really just answering people's curiosity. And I think the best journalism is answering people's curiosity. So they really did a great job when they would hear these things at zeroing in on, I think, the questions that people really wanted answered. George Stanley, the managing editor, said at one point during all the craziness that he had gotten more positive response to PolitiFact Wisconsin than any feature the Journal Sentinel had done. And I was very heartened by that, and I think it speaks to the potential for this and the potential for new forms of journalism, that we need to be doing more of this, not just PolitiFact, but creating new stuff in journalism that is not just the traditional ways that we've told stories.
Since the majority of your job is analyzing individual politicians' statements, do you find that when politicians are lying that it's on purpose, or are they just talking because they don't know and they're politicians and their job is to just speak?
You know, that's probably not a knowable thing, because we can't really know whether how much is accidental. I do think, though, there are different kinds of mistakes. If a candidate is taking part in a debate and makes a slip up or gives a number that, you know, the famous one, President Ford in a presidential debate in 1976, essentially liberated Poland from the USSR. And so you have those sorts of what I think of as under the Kleeglights mistakes. That's very different than a campaign ad where a campaign has spent a lot of time thinking about the exact wording, thinking about the images, and has made a calculated decision. So in those cases, you're talking about false. When we find that they're false, we're talking about falsehoods that sure seem to be calculated. Now, they will often insist that they're accurate. But in those cases, it seems to be a very conscious decision. We're going to make this statement, and maybe PolitiFact and other fact checkers will raise a fuss about it, but we're going to make that statement anyway. We see plenty of both.
Bill Adair is the editor of PolitiFact, which partners with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He'll be speaking in UWL's Centennial Hall in the Hall of Nations tonight at 7. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strub, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.